200 years since they invaded Aboriginal land.
The land belongs to us. We belong to the land.
Government is trying to take away from us.
Don't call me a problem. I am not the problem. I have never left my country, nor have I ceded any part of it.
Let's talk. Triple A's flagship program that continues to elevate the diverse voices of First Nations people across the country. Centered around the unceded sovereignty of First Nations people in this country, honouring the history with a solutions-based focus on the future. With your host, Pomeroy journalist, Danny Tierce Johnson.
Yama, hello and welcome to Let's Talk. I'm Danny Tierce Johnson, Pomeroy journalist from Moree, New South Wales. I'd like to pay my respects to the traditional owners to start the show. I acknowledge the traditional owners from the lands that we broadcast from, and I pay my respects all across this beautiful black nation of ours today to your elders past and present, to wherever you're listening. Happy NAIDOC Week, mob. Gadjikere is a traditional owner of the Yagara, Quandamooka, Moreton Bay areas and Kabigawi country, north of the Sunshine Coast, and has traditional ties to the Gulf area. Raised in a big extended family across her coastal and mainland country, Gadjikere is a mother, grandmother and great-grandmother. I'm soon to become a great-grandfather. No, I'm not a grandfather. who values her faith, family and community. She's one of our TOs here. I'm very, very grateful. Annie Kerry, welcome to the show. Thanks for coming in.
Oh, thank you too, Danny, for having me here.
Happy NAIDOC Week.
Yeah, happy NAIDOC Week to you and everybody out there and Marumba Nunyu Nubul. So, good morning. Numberley, everyone. Numberley, Yowa Yuingan. Friendly greetings, everyone.
Yeah, thanks for bringing in some language too. And it's just great to have a Brisbane Black mob in, TO mob in, to talk about NAIDOC Week and what's going on here and put a bit of a spotlight on southeast Queensland today. As we can tell outside, it's very gloomy weather, but we're going to spread some sunshine today, aren't we, Annie Kerr?
We are, yep. We want to have a few laughs and... Yeah, bring that spirit of laughter in.
Yeah, you know, and you know,
bit of joy,
bit of show off southeast Queensland to the nation. Hey, yep. How's NAIDOC Week been for you so far? And I know you were down in Melbourne recently for the National NAIDOC Ball as well. How was all of that?
Okay, so yes, my NAIDOC Week sort of started a bit earlier, and lots of preparation and panicking about whether I was going to be warm enough and what outfit and all that. But, you know, first of all, I want to acknowledge the traditional owners and our mobs all across the continent, in all those countries and in all directions. And I do want to say thank you, too, to the National NAIDOC Committee because they really looked after us and it was an amazing event. And I just loved it. I loved seeing... Well, of course, all what everybody was wearing and looking out for, you know, people you see on the media and just around the country
all
hearing.
All the stars.
Well, all the celebrities. And, but also, you know, all the uncles and aunties that you see all the time flying the flag, raising the banner.
I was saying to Gerald and Ranger Stacey this morning on Brekkie Radio, it's just the pictures and the videos from the National NAIDOC Ball. It was just... It was like the Met Gala. It was just black excellence.
Yeah.
And when you compare that to the Logies, that looked pretty basic, the Logies. You know what I mean?
You know, I'll tell you
good.
What.
It was good. But our mob knew how to dress up.
They knew how to put on the Ritz, I tell you. And walking along the photographic wall and the carpet and, you know, like they really... It's a real big booster too, you know, like everybody's lining up with their cameras and waiting to interview people. And I was there also with young Elijah Manus and his teacher mentor, Kim, from the Murray School.
Yeah. What's Elijah's relation to you?
Fantastic. No. Well, he's mob's Torres Strait Islander.
Oh, yep.
But I met him a few years back because my sister's grandchildren, well, a heap of the family go through the been through the Murray School, and so he graduated with one of my my sister's granddaughter. He went through that with that group, and an impressionable, you know, impressive and remarkable, creative.
Yeah, it's young
fella.
I was reading his bio, and I saw that he come from the Murray School.
Yes,
and I know how close we are at Triple A to the Murray School, and the legends around here. the elders that look after that school. So to see that, someone come from the Murray School to win a National NAIDOC Award, I just, it was really inspiring, and I'm sure for the kids at the school currently and then former students, it must be just so inspiring to know that one of their own has gone on and just done amazing things.
Yeah.
You know?
And, you know, he that outfit that he wore, which was really very deadly, unique, different.
Yeah, I think...
But it's stylish and...
it's good to see blackfellas stepping into themselves and wearing what they want to wear and not worry about being judged because, you know, our mob are pretty cool with all that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And I loved his earrings that he wore. I just thought they were fabulous. And I'm a bit of a fashion buff. And that jacket he wore...
All you Quantumuka mob are, I noticed. Yeah. You're a real fashion mob.
Oh, I don't. that jacket too... he was telling me about it, that designer, and I forget his name, but he's on his website there. And it's actually a turned inside out denim jacket that he's worked on. And
oh, really?
Yeah, you know, like just amazing creative, you know. We're in an era of you know, pre-loved and re-loving.
Yeah, but it's just what these young people do with it. I know we've had Australian Indigenous Fashion Week recently and whatnot, but I just think, this young generation coming through are just really stepping into themselves, and that's probably off the back of, you know, what all you mob do and have paved the way.
Yeah, you know. That, well, with climate change it being so big and people still want to be creative, look deadly and, you know...
sustainable fashion.
Yeah, and continue our values and principles around caring for country, ecosystems, climate. And, you know, now they're looking at our First Nations ways of, you know, spirituality and just that ancient environmental land management system based on ecosystems.
Our traditional knowledges.
Kinships. And kinships with our animals and our totems and that caring for all that and how that, you know, sustained this land, pristine land for 100,000 or more years, you know.
One of my favourite awards at the National NAIDOC Awards is the Caring for Country Award.
Yes.
And I think Uncle Walter Jackson won that. I'm trying to get him on the show this week. But as it is, it's NAIDOC week, so it's really hard to get hold of people, especially if you've just won a NAIDOC award.
Yes. You got to pre-book them, mate. You got to try to guess and pre-book.
Well, I rang that work and he said, oh, no, they've all got the week off this week. And I said, of course, it's NAIDOC week.
Yeah.
But you can't get them on earlier because you don't know who's won until the winners are announced because they're all embargoed. So we'll chase it up because he's got a fascinating story, like all the winners.
Yes.
You know, and I'd love to share their stories across this black nation of ours in the near future. Anikea, but tell us, you were part of a special presentation down there at the National NAIDOC Ball. You'll pass the message stick.
Yeah, and I want to acknowledge the traditional owners down there and Annie Joy Murphy, who did a brilliant job with their Welcome to Country ceremony and the young ones who performed. It was just a delight. I had met her about 25 years ago and she was, you know, doing it soul. It was new bringing back in our ceremonies in public spaces.
Yep.
And so, you know, I know that she'd worked hard from way back then when I was down there with a group. We'd had a little conference for one of the places I was working with. And so it was a delight to catch up with her again. You know, I've done a couple of times, but we had more of a catch up and to see her, what she's passed on and how the young ones are stepping up and, you know, proud to wear the little cloaks and proud to walk that carpet and carry that smoking... all those items for smoking ceremony.
Yeah, we take it for granted, don't we?
I think that
having all that ceremony today, because even when I was at school, we never had that.
No.
You'd get one elder rock in or something. Well,
yep.
It wasn't even a NAIDOC week was celebrated when I was at school, so this isn't that long ago.
And when I was at school, you didn't even, you know, we were still being taught out of textbooks that said, you know, Aborigines were murdering savages and all that. And, you know... As a kid, I only ever heard the word Guri by my old people. We only ever talked the language Guri. So when I read that I was about grade four, and I was reading this textbook which said this, you know, uncivilized and murdering savages, Aborigines, and I thought, hope I don't run into any of them Aborigines. They don't sound real good to me. Meet up any Aborigines, because I ain't in Nuguri.
Yeah.
You know, that's our word for us. So.
Yeah, because I always thought, Guri was along that east coast. It's a real, that Koori-Guri word.
It is,
K and the G, and you go down to Victoria and it's Koori with the IE, and then, but even down at Nambucca Heads, that Goombengi area, they're Gooris.
That's
Gooris.
It, yeah, Bundjalung, a lot of Bundjalung call
Gooris
it.
They say Koori as well. They don't say Koori.
Yeah, Tweed Heads, they say Koori down to, got a lot of friend there, all the Corwell Dailies and all that mob, that casino, Tabulum.
Mm-hmm.
Keep down, going down a bit further, you know, and they say Koori too.
Yeah.
So I always joke and say, you know, because it gets colder going down south, they must go from Koori to Koori.
Yeah, well, it's
just mucking.
Just colder up here at the moment. How's it feel, to get past the messy stick? You've brought it in today. Thanks for bringing it in, by the way.
Oh, I love it, you know.
Because it does give Brisbane a chance to shine a light on the Brisbane Blacks and, I guess, southeast Queensland. And, you know, we've got so much going on up here in the next particularly decade leading into the Olympics and so many political processes underway, particularly around treaty.
Yeah. Bringing
it
to Mugginjin.
Yeah, how's it feel to be bringing it here and hosting the nation, the Black nation?
Look, it really was an honour, and it really was a special thing to have happen, I think, for us. It's a historical thing for me and Uncle Stephen Coggle, who went down, and to be part of that handover and ceremony, and to also to be part of that National NAIDOC Ball there, to observe and, just to reflect upon it. And it'll be a memory, you know, that goes in that special events folder, you know, our mental files and in our heart. And so I do want to thank everyone for that, making it so special. It really was, I think I was a bit numb, you know. I got up on stage there and was reading my little script and...
No, but you look lovely.
Oh, thank you. Oh, well, professional makeup and hair there. You know, I said to Uncle Spud, well, I don't know what they're going to do to your hair, Uncle Spud. Just polish that bald head, but...
Wear a hat, Unc. Wear a hat.
Yeah. And, but... It was just wonderful, and, you know, I just had such joy in thinking about what it means for Mugginjin, and I do want to get that word out that
it
is not Meanjin, it's Mugginjin.
Mugginjin, can we...
And, look, Muggin is tulip wood tree,
mm-hmm.
And so, you know, the district of Mugginjin, or what historically has become known as Meanjin.
Yeah.
So Muggin is a tulip wood tree, and our tribes and... districts are named after the flora. So, like, just for example, my two tribes, I've got one which is Jandavel and Jandir for ironbark tree, and then my other ancestor, his clan was Yilaran, and that was grass tree, and another one was Nuaju and Nuaraju, and that was that special vine up in the high in the trees that was harvested for ropes and string and all that sort of stuff, so which was a really key economic trade, but also a commodity for used in the manufacture with, you know, our canoes and all sorts of weaponry and tools and crafts. So I want to explain that clearly to
really
people
important.
Because when they get things, Meanjin and Miggin, you know, there's this debate amongst non-Indigenous Dagai historians and
Dagai means white, eh?
Yeah, Dagai's the white fella. Dagai. So in Yagra, Dagai was a word for one of our words for like ghost or pale.
Yeah, right.
And
Dagai. Like the Mugai.
Yeah, Dagai. Dagai. And, Mugai is Mulinjali's.
Yeah.
Oh, no, Yugam Mulinjali. So we learnt that from all our Mulinjali mobs. And so it's going to be great to be able to promote our language more and get people more connected to country through that language. And
so I should stop
Mugungun.
Saying I should stop saying Meanjin and say Mugungun.
Mugungun, because there was I was going to say there was a bit of a discussion debate from historians and others that it was Mugungun because it was where the spike was and a place of the spike, and then there was another one about Meanjin because the consonant went quiet, you know, and we didn't. It was Mugungun. Anyway, the as it turns out, the spike became more pronounced after the river was dredged to allow the bigger boats and ships up the river.
Yeah, when they ruined
to the
river
area. Yeah, and don't you love it? Mm-hmm. And but also there was an area there that was where they first put up the convict garden to have food to eat. And so I think that two words that got mixed up myself,
yeah, right,
because Mugungun being the spike in the ground, Mugungun, maybe our people were calling that area because they were digging with spikes, the newcomers,
yeah, right,
the new colony, the you know, the penal colony. And but the Mugungun has been recorded very early as well. So, you know, we've gone... When we do our language, historical language mapping work, we're doing lots of surveys and going right back. And
it's so important work. It's such important work to do this right. And I guess reclaim our words.
Absolutely.
And get it right, because we know from colonisation and white fathers mispronouncing things.
Yep.
And putting words together, making up words, that
yep,
sometimes that's passed on to us and we say it.
And a lot of us become anglicised too in the last couple of generations,
yep,
because of the policy which said no teaching language, no teaching culture. And so it was outlawed, you know. But I did have the blessing of old grannies, and as a child, old grannies who were the last language fluent old people.
Yep.
And they were recorded by about three or four different universities as well, and professors, and that's how we got the audio. But we learnt the sound system, but because of that policy, they wouldn't teach us fluently.
Wow.
And so we got enough that we're repatriating and revitalising the language.
Wow, what a story.
You know, So anyway, so...
It's just great, it's great education.
Mugungun.
You know?
That emphasis on that for here, you know, I'm not talking for across the country, I'm just talking for here and around southeast Queensland. So that emphasis is on that first syllable. And one of the old grandfathers, you know, he said, you know, up there, number, because he was talking about some things around number. So we turn it into the English way and go Nambour.
Nambour, yeah.
But number and Jara, you know, Jara or... Dara or Tara is land or country. And so we got the train station called Dara. See how it changes? Because even in our system, and there's a phonetic system that was written, but the D-A-A-R-A, but when you see that A like that, it's said A, so Dara.
I've read a lot of books around, academic books around the mispronunciation, the making up of Aboriginal words and name places.
Mm.
You know, Noosa is another one.
Mm-hmm.
Yvette Holt wrote that back in the colonial days, they said, what is this place? And the local mob went, no, sir. Like, you're not allowed here, no, sir.
Yes.
And they took it as Noosa.
Yes.
I don't know if that's fact, but it was in a PhD paper that I read. But there's so many things like that. And, Annie Kerr, I can't thank you enough for dropping this knowledge and giving us a language lesson here. And like I said, it's great for the nation and all the mob that are not from Brizzy to hear this and get it right, because this is a real opportunity hosting the NAIDOC Ball next year, the national one, to get this right and to, you know, create some education and some yarns around it, you know.
Absolutely, and everybody coming from everywhere, you know, that's what I'm excited about too, is that, like, for Queensland, you know, to embrace it and because here we got this hub of people from everywhere, you know. And when I talked before about that kinship system, hey, and what my old people taught me always was around how we, you know, going from our clan and our tribe, and then this one's country here, and always acknowledging that and always being respectful and really emphasising the three R's around that respect and relationship and reciprocity. And so when, and that goes for the animals, that goes for totem system, that goes tree systems, ecosystems, kinship system. And as a grandmother today and a great grandmother, I got grannies who are from Waka Waka mob,
yep.
You know, and myself being Yuggera, Gubbi Gubbi and parts of Quandamooka. So, you know, now we've got, you know, grannies who also from Yuggera, from Noogie, from up north, you know, the spring shore, right up to, you know, roots with the Gulf. Are down, you know, all the mob down Bunjalung and Northern Rivers.
All these connections.
And now down to Sydney. And so, you know, it's important because we're then custodians to ensure that they're connected to their those parts of their culture and their kinship. And so, and they're now my other two grannies with Maori roots, you know.
Hey, look out.
Oh, look out. They might follow my older sister, Donna Ruska, and lead those charges there with them Maori mob.
Yep. Well, we're pretty staunch. We like leading the charge. Don't worry about that.
As long as it's not leading the charging up, leading.
None of that on Let's Talk. Hey, what do you think about the NAIDOC theme this year, Art? Get up, stand up, show up?
Yes.
What do you think of that theme and what does it say to you, that theme?
Oh, okay. You know, I was really been thinking about this because, of course, I'm going out doing things all
week.
And I
wonder what the theme will be for next year.
Well, I mean...
Do you know that yet? You're probably not allowed to say.
No, I don't. I don't. But you know what? We're in the present moment, hey?
Yep.
And I think, what does get up mean? You know, what are they saying with those words? Get up, stand up, show up. And, you know, the up word is very important too because, you know, we're always looking at rising ourselves up and getting each other strong, and that's why NAIDOC Week is so important.
Yeah.
And we live that. We live those aspects every day, and that up, keeping us, you know, that old saying, keeping up in a down world and all those other negative things there that we are overcoming every day. And in different ways. And it made me think about this old saying from the mission era, you know.
Oh, please.
If you're black, stand back. If you're brown, step down. And if you're white, you're right. Right? So, you know, and that was a real, the way that that derogatory caste system, you know, that... our people tried to manoeuvre and navigate, and then manipulated to survive too, you know, under the exemption from the Act system, and so this, you know, so I love this get up, stand up, show up, you know, because our people had these little quotes to, and there was, you know, there was a book just in those quotes, but it was the alerts to people that you're getting in danger here, so remember, if you're black, step back, if you're brown, step down, and if you're white, you're right. So don't forget that. You know, and they had a whole heap of strategies, whole heap of a vision plan and a strategic plan with all that stuff.
Yeah.
Because it was survival and staying strong and keeping everyone together as much as possible, you know, and coming through that era. And so we're in a different era, and we're dealing with the impacts of that generations of mission and under reserve and under acts and things like that, and that's going to take a few more generations to really turn around.
Yeah.
And, you know, and my cousin, their now cousin brother Stephen Coggle Sr. talks about how he's been a citizen in this country for only 50 years, you know.
Yeah.
You know, from post 67.
Yeah, so and young 70. People, I guess, don't understand, you know, that at all. Mm. What life was like back then when you weren't considered a human in this country.
Under the Flora and Fauna Act, and also not a citizen. We were British subjects.
Yep.
Bizarre. How bizarre.
Yeah, and I wonder how. So those mob that are around in the 67 referendum, and they reckon in the next 2 to 3 years we're going to have another referendum. You know, so I wonder how the 67 mob feel about that, and if it's triggering, and or if they're buoyed by it. You know, they're up by it. So yeah, it's a really interesting set of dynamics in terms of politics and policy in the next couple of years.
Yeah.
You know.
And that get up, stand up, show up. I mean, look, you know, and I think this is for all of us too, you know, but also to our non-Indigenous Australian mobs too, to get up there with us, you know,
yeah.
Stand up there with us and show up.
Yeah.
You know.
Because we put the call out in Sydney a few years ago as to the white fellas. It's like, stop going to your Australia Day rallies, come to our Yarban rallies, our Invasion Day rallies. If you really believe in, you know, changing this country and the truth, then come to our rallies, not them ones.
Yeah.
And we're seeing a shift.
Absolutely.
We are seeing a shift, you know.
Absolutely. Absolutely there's a shift, but it's in certain pockets and certain areas.
Yep.
And certain social, cultural, economic pockets as well. And so, and then there's the hardcore, you know, old guard. And we're slowly working and bringing down those defences and taking another brick out of the wall. I feel like I'm saying all these songs today, you know.
We're quoting
How Bizarre, How Bizarre. Another brick out of the wall. And
I got teased about that song, How Bizarre, How Bizarre, because all my mates reckon I look like the fella sitting in the back seat of the car. I sort of do, you know. But, you know, it is, you know, Get Up, Stand Up. It's Bob Marley. It's a Bob Marley song. What do you say? Another brick in the wall, Pink Floyd. So, you know, a lot of these, I guess, musical sayings from the 60s and 70s and 80s are now more important and as relevant today as they were back then.
Yeah, and I would encourage everybody to put that theme, those words on their fridge, on their walls, on their doors, and think about how do I get up today? How do I stand up? How do I show up, you know? And, like, you know, there's an ad on TV at the moment around the bullying and you know, the standing up for people and standing up against bullying. And that needs to translate into, like, when no one wants to sit next to you because you're the only guri on the bus or the train or, you know, I talk about when I'm wearing my right white fashions and I can walk through any door, and then but then when I just wear my colours and my you know, red, yellow, black beanie or whatever, and the difference, you know, that
how you get treated or viewed
or so.
Well, she looks like an activist today. She doesn't look like a fashionista.
Yeah, like what's going to come out of her mouth there?
Yeah.
You know, is she one of them angry black fellas?
She dangerous?
You know, what's she? I'm 5 foot five, but I might be 5 foot four now, because I'm shrinking. But
happens to the best of us, you know. My dad was a jockey, so I'm in that 5 foot.
But you know, I can talk it when I got to.
Yeah, no, I think we all do that, and you know, there's so much going on this year in the next couple of years. The Voice to Parliament. You know, Voice Treaty Truth, all that sort of yarn. There's all these discussions going on at the moment, so it's a real time for us. And I think leading into Brisbane next year, there's going to be the conversation will be moved along quite a bit.
Yeah.
It could be a pretty profound time. Who knows?
Because, you know, we do this, I do a lot of stuff with different community groups and the Survival Day commemorations that we do and the Sorry Day at the Bringing Them Home plaque. And there's just a increase every time we do it, every event, there's huge numbers. And even I know with my workload and the workload of the elders, we just have got this increase of people wanting to know more, wanting to learn, wanting to talk more through things.
Though.
It is, hey, sometimes I think, I wonder if I should migrate.
Because I just like, you know, spread it out. Just don't hammer us with 1 week and NAIDOC week, white fellas. You know, maybe leave us alone this week a little bit. Let us just enjoy ourselves. And then you've got another 51 weeks of the year where you can ask us stuff.
I think we should have NAIDOC Month, hey?
NAIDOC Month. Well,
we do kind of like that because...
We sort of have a Black History Month starting.
Yes.
I've seen and that sort of thing where it's becoming, you know, we get everything from America anyway. But we're going to have a Black History Month starting. So we've got a whole month to talk about this. But that should be for us. That shouldn't be for white fellas to drain our knowledge.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's 51 other weeks of the year or 11 other months of the year that you can invest in Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander culture and communities and really learn about us.
That's true. And we've got, NAIDOC at Muggingen NAIDOC at...
on Friday.
Musgrave on Friday and hoping this rain has rained itself out.
Point that little messy stick up in the sky and do a little shake.
Yeah, I'll have to do a little ceremony there and... sort that out, and it's a much smaller one than the Family Fun Day. COVID has, of course, impacted, but again, you know, that's for everyone. But it's also for us to showcase that we're still here, we're doing it, we're vibrant, we're sharing, and you know, we just have this old ancient culture that we're expressing, you know, contemporary form and we've got people from everywhere. You know, I think that, you know, we've got people who, you may as well say, have been here, like the, say you've got the traditional owners, you've got people who call themselves the Brisbane Blacks, and that's that post-referendum and pre-referendum activism.
Shout out the Brisbane Blacks.
Groups, you know, and
love them.
Things that started. And, of course, our mob worked with them too, you know, with the, you know, Uncle Don Brady and the, you got the Brisbane Tribal Council, the Born Free Club, the all those old things that started up in the 60s and 70s. But, you know, before that you had all that stuff coming out where the Abbo call went around the newspaper and the petitions and everything in the 30s and 40s. So there's a lot in our history, you know.
A lot of people don't know how NAIDOC Week started and I just find it completely appalling that, you know, well, it's not their fault because, you know, Australia's Australia, but that NAIDOC Week actually started back in the
1930s.
And it was actually everyone marching from out of, you know, basically all over Australia, they walked to Sydney and started NAIDOC Day, the day of celebration, you know, and one of my uncles was instrumental in that, old Uncle Jack Kinchler. You know, and there was Victorian mob, there was Queensland mob, there was New South Wales mob.
Yeah.
You know, and they all they all got together and walked. Just caught the trains and this was in the 30s. And imagine how hard it was been for blackfellas to do this back then, the first protest. You know,
and that should be in curriculum.
Yeah.
You know, those sort of things, they need to be. They're our heroes.
And we've got these old aunties and uncles that nobody knows their name of.
No.
But they should have statues. They're like war heroes.
They dedicated themselves to improving the lot and speaking out at a time when it was also dangerous to be speaking out.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, a lot of our people have lost their lives.
And that was the first
speaking
sort of,
out.
Yeah, because NAIDOC was the first massive activism.
Yeah.
You know, and here we are in 2022 with Get Up, Stand Up, Show Up, you know, and that says activism to me too.
Yep.
You know?
Well, you know, I think too that our mobs who were activists during the colonial period and that those who then looked after each other and took in people who were remnants of their tribes and country and, you know, all that sort of history, and that's real life. That's our great-great-great-grandparents, you know. That's our great-great-grandparents, you know. Yeah. Some of them hijacked and made to be in the native police and sent up to opposite ends of the state or interstate to do the bidding for pastoralists to be safe while they stole our country and invaded and razed down the trees and the land and just destroyed and ecosystems, ancient pathways, habitats for those animals. You're just displaced, dispersed, dispossessed. You know, that's all a continuum and we need to have that and show that. They're our heroes. I mean, And you know, that great book, Pemulwuy, you know, the warrior. And I know a lot of young men who've used that to help them to get strong and find their identity and come back from being, from all the words that were spoken over them or that they've seen in the media about black men or ourselves, you know.
There's a lot of work being done around that at the moment, and certainly, you know, to reimagine and re-identify the black man and who we are.
Yep.
And I think a lot of that comes from reading and writing about who we are and listening and learning. And I think over the next few years we're going to see some really good work done around that. But it goes to that, you know, I love going to the city now and you see the statues of the war memorial.
Mm, isn't that amazing,
Uncle Bobby Blair came here one day and told me about it. And I didn't really understand the significance of what he was talking about until I saw it.
Yes.
And, you know, it puts a tear in my eye.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a bit of an emotional black fella. But that stuff...
And that's a good thing?
Yeah. It does put a tear in my eye because it really makes me think about sacrifices and who we are and what we've been through. And if we saw statues of these warriors or just these aunties and uncles from back in the day fighting and walking on Sydney and Pemulwuy and whatnot, if we saw these statues around... like we see the British statues from around the cities. Imagine that to do to the soul.
Absolutely.
We talk about get up and stand up. When you see a statue like that or something amazingly cultural, it makes your soul stand up.
It's true, you know. Everyone's got different opinions about reconciliation action plans. But for me, I've been doing, you know, over 40 years of cultural sharing and, you know, crossing bridges and building bridges and then... Reconciliation came in, and to see this organised and structured process of RAPS going all around the country, and then all these corporations and people who would never talk to an Aboriginal person, or you know, wouldn't necessarily feel confident enough to, are learning how to, and working with our people, and then, you know, getting artists in, getting our suppliers in for all sorts of merchandise. And I think that is changing. That's changing the face of Australia too. I say, oh, we've got to gurry-eyes everybody. You know, we're gurries and we gurry-eyes everyone. But it's also like learning how to look through gurry eyes, you know, so gurry eyes. And so I just think, So we have tens of thousands of people being exposed to and being challenged to and being asked to and being taught, you know, to get up, stand up, show up. And that's a very critical part of it all as well. And that gurry-eyesing Australia, and one of the things about being, like people often say to me, ask me about being on country, you know, and caring for country, and sometimes I'm, you know, work on different projects and they say, oh, we've got this architecture group and they're from across over, you know, the other side of the world, but they want to build this 25-storey tower in the middle of Brisbane City there, can you come and talk to us and da-da-da-da-da, you know.
Tell
us what you'd like and what you think they should put in it. And I say to them, well, do you want to know what I really would like, you know? I reckon we should have a protest about that and who wants to join me? But that we are, the evidence of invasion and colonisation is with us all the time.
Yep.
So we are trying to work together through RAPS and NAIDOCs and Reconciliation Weeks and just every day on country we are looking at, and the more we're learning and the more we're taking back, the more clarity there is in terms of the significance of the cultural landscape.
Yeah,
The destruction of our cultural landscape and a new cultural landscape.
Yeah.
So to have our hands in that somehow, in terms of teaching and walking with and creating awareness, understanding, building respect, all that attitudinal, qualitative stuff, then bringing in the visuals. The visuals is very important, you know, where our gurry eyes would see our beautiful hills and beautiful trees and flowers and plants, we're seeing lots of brick and mortar and concrete and
Have to get a song going, Goori Eyes.
Oh, that's right. Eh? Goori Eyes Australia. Goori Eyes.
I love that song, Hungry Eyes.
Hungry Dirty Dancing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They're gone. There, see? Get Goori Eyes,
eh? We all race to see that. We are running out of time, Auntie Care, but is there anything else you want to sort of pass on or say before we wrap up? And just while I've got you here as a local TO with the nation listening, is there anything else that you'd like to pass on that you think is important that we should be, I guess, starting to learn and understand around the Brisbane mob?
Oh, gosh. Now you stumped me there. But really, I think...
investigative journalist I am.
Yeah. Well, I think that, you know, this concept of traditional owners, I like to say traditional custodians.
Yep, the TCs.
The TCs. I mean, I don't mind TOs. I don't like how there's this... you know, there's all these myths that come up, hey, like that Noosa, you know, word.
Yep.
And, you know, Meanjin, Megginjin, Meanjin. So Mugginjin, remember, come to Marumba Bulka Mugginjin, Numberley, you're all welcome to Brisbane. And I can't wait to see people from everywhere, and I want us all to be celebrating this and to be built up by it. And in terms of this country, we've just got, you know, people from everywhere, as I said, and all doing great stuff, you know. There's all the Bush Tucker mob and Yarrika, of course, leading that way, and Cuppy Bunda out at the Youth Detention Centre, and I do some work with them, and they have a catering course and they're training all our young people at the different... youth centres to get their certificates and quals. Mm. And so they've got that Cuppy Bunda name given from me, which means Lamandra. And Lamandra was used for basket weaving, but all sorts of foods, medicinal uses and all that as well. So it's something that for them young people.
Mm.
And then as they go out and learn more, they can adopt their ways too, you know. So it is about that sharing. We've got a great history here from the activism and big names and the descendants and newcomers. So, you know, post the referendum years, you've got people who came because they were able to get their exemption certificates, and then you got people post the referendum and then, you know, the sort of more later arrivals. Mm. And they're doing great stuff here. But I don't want us to lose our history of how we come through the darkest times. And there's still dark times for a lot.
Yep.
And we need to embrace those and support and nurture those in those times as well.
Yep.
And also showing the strength that we've got as a united community as well. And... you know, I went to West End State School. I benefited by the tutoring program set up with Opal and Uncle Darcy Cummins and Pastor Don Brady and Uncle Don Davidson, because he was married to Mum's cousin, Auntie Georgina Hostel, who's named after her. And she had an AOM or an AM. You know, so there's all this... brilliant history here.
Rich.
But it's not in the curriculum.
No.
So no. I reckon people should get up, stand up and show up and say, what are you teaching about our heroes?
Yeah, exactly. And we've got Netflix up today, so let's go and pitch a story about the Brisbane Blacks, eh?
Well,
Pamela,
there you go.
Or,
yes.
Aunt Shirl. Or,
yes.
Audrey Doonuknuckle.
Well, you got...
You know?
Yeah.
Where's her movie?
Absolutely.
You know?
You
Netflix
know?
Is upstairs today, so let's go and pitch.
Yeah. Well, you got the Dunderley story, Gerwali story, the...
that's what I want to see. I want to see movies. I want to see...
Rubin's story, the...
Australia. Where's the story of invasion? What's the story through our eyes, you know?
The first big old chief of Mugginjin who resisted and actively resisted against the... first penal colony.
Yep.
When he realised they weren't leaving, he was friendly for a while and hosting, and then he started. Well, he was murdered, but his name was Tulu Wubalu Wagagopili.
Yeah.
So, Tulu Wubalu Wagagopili. So he, you know, we should be learning that there was this chief, and that's one of my ancestors, you know, and many descendants from across different tribes here.
Yeah, let's go. Mm. Need this in books, we need it in films, we need it in music, we need it everywhere. Annie Carey-Charlton, thanks
Goorie
so much.
Eyes.
Goorie Eyes.
Goorie Eyes, Australia.
thanks so much for coming in today and sharing your knowledge, your wisdom, and, yeah.
Thank you for having me.
Spending some time teaching some language as well. We really appreciate it. Happy NAIDOC week out there to all the mobs all across this beautiful black nation of ours today. And, you know, get up, stand up, show up. To me, it's about activism. So if you're a white fellow out there wondering what to do today, maybe go meet an activist, go and buy him dinner, go and buy him lunch and get a history lesson. You've been listening to Let's Talk on AAA Murray Country.